Amen. So let me share a few thoughts with you this morning on this Mission Sunday. And the title of the message today is The God of the Nations. The God of the Nations. Can you say with me, the God of the Nations? Say one more time with me, the God of the Nations. For me personally, I find that Mission Sunday is a good reminder for me. It's a good reminder that God is the God of nations. And that when you think about of God of the nations, suddenly God is a little bit bigger than just our little circle in our little world. You say amen to that? You know what I'm saying? Do you identify with me that when we go through life, it's very easy to get into, you know, our struggles or our own lives or our own challenges and our own little world, and we forget about everyone else around us. When I say everyone else around us, I mean beyond our little sphere of the world in which we live in. Do you understand what I'm saying here? And so for me, Mission Sunday and a few other things as well, there's a good reminder that God is the God of the nations. He is way, way bigger than I am. He's way bigger than my little problem. He is the God of the nations. So I want to bring that to you this morning, okay? And let's look at how the God of the Bible is the God of the nations. I think it's easy to read the Bible in the Old Testament and think that perhaps God was only ever interested with Jewish people or Hebrew or a certain groups of people. And it was very exclusive to what we call the Gentile nations or non-Hebrew or non-Israelites people. But the God of the Bible is the God of the nations. Say with me, God of the nations. There's a phrase in the book of Ezekiel, found in the Old Testament. There's a phrase that reoccurs many, 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 many times. Almost every chapter, you will find this verse that says this, that they shall know that I am the Lord. Why don't you verbalize this with me? One, two, three. That they shall know that I am the Lord. And who is they? I want to ask a question. Who is, when the prophet is saying that on behalf of God, or when God is saying that in the Old Testament, who is the they? And the they, what you will find, and if you just go through Ezekiel chapter 25 all the way to around 39-ish, and you look at all these chapters, in fact, it actually appears at the earlier chapters as well, but when you look at specifically those chapters, there are prophetic words that are uttered to nations. And just to name a few, and I hope you can see on the right side here that you can see some of the names of the surrounding nations around Israel. Can you see some of the names there? That's just to name a few, all right, so you get an idea of that. But basically, there are prophetic words that God was speaking over each of these nations. Oftentimes, it was words of judgment, but there were prophetic words that God was uttering to the nations. And so to mention just a brief one of them, if you can show the next slide here, there's a map. It's not a complete map, obviously. But obviously there are some of the nations you will see, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Syrians, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Edomites down the bottom, the Philistines, the Egyptians, and so on and so forth. So if you actually look at the, if you've got a Bible, and especially if you have the New King James, because the New King James has the headings, if you flip through chapter 25 and onwards, each chapter you will see there's a proclamation against a certain nation. So I'm going to just mention a few here. The proclamation against Ammon, against Tyre. There's a proclamation against Tyre, all right, Egypt, and so on and so forth. So you go back and forth throughout all these chapters, and you see all these nations there. What's my point of saying all of this to you is that God is interested with nations. God is interested. God is the God of nations. Let me read a few verses here. Psalms 47, verse 6 to 8. It says this, sing praises to God. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. God reigns over the nations. God sits on His holy throne. And you say amen. Why don't you read with me Psalms 117, verse 1 on the screen. We can verbalize this with me. 1, 2, and 3. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise Him, all ye people. So I hope what I'm saying here is that, and I'm sure you understand this already, but the heart of God, God is not the God of just a group of people that he's only interested in, not just a nation out of a nation in the Middle East called Israel. His heart, all throughout the Bible, you will see God is the God of all the nations. You say amen? So it's very important to see that, okay? God is not exclusive. He is very inclusive. But all must come in by faith. In fact, when you talk about Abraham, Abraham is a Hebrew. But if you look at his roots, where is he from? The Bible also says he was a Syrian, right? He was from the Chaldeans, from Ur, or however you say that. Ur. Sounds Chinese already. But anyhow, you know what I'm saying? So God picked him out and called him to become his people. Just like we were once not a people, but God has now made us a people. So no matter what tribe, tongues, or people we are one people under God. Can you say amen? I'm going to move to the second point here. I'm just making some statements here. This is the God that we worship. Number two, let's look at God's heart for the nation. So God is not only the God of the nations. He sits enthroned. Nations will worship him. But look at his heart for the nations. In Genesis chapter 1, so that's not chapter 1, it's chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. And here God appears to Abraham and he gives him this promise, this covenant. This word covenant here is, or the word a promise unto him. And what is this promise? Let's read it in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. It says this: Now the Lord has said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And listen to this, and in you, all right, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In you, in your seed, in Abraham's seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Now keep that scripture in mind because we're going to come back to Genesis 12 at the end of this message. But keep note of that verse. In you, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. This is a promise given to Abraham that through him, God's heart is for the nations. And I want you to see this in that in you, all the families of the earth. It's not just some families of the earth, but all the families of the earth. In fact, Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He loved the whole world, not just some. But all must enter in by the gate of faith. I want to ask you I want to probe you with a few questions this morning, especially in the light of, let's look at what's happening. We are proclaiming God is the God of the nations. God is almighty. God is sovereign. God is all-powerful. You agree with me so far this morning with what I've said? This is the God of the Bible, right? God is all of that. God is big. God is the God of nations. God has a heart for the nations. But then when we look at what's happening around or in the nations of the world, we can scratch our heads and say, well, hang on a minute, what's going on? So let me ask this question here. What about the political landscape around the world? What do we do with that? As we are proclaiming that God is the God of the nations. When we look at the state election, for example, all right? Not a very pretty sight, the way it's, you know, the way it was, you could lose gracefully, but that was kind of bad lose, right? So when you think about all of that, you think, what's happening? Is God not interested in WA? Is God not concerned about issues that relates to people, gender? Is that, are those things not important to God? Well, I want to say that it is, but I want to see, how should I respond to that? How should I respond in all of this? And I want to kind of bring this to you because I think there are two spectrums of how we can see things. There's the one that says, well, it doesn't really matter what happens because God is in control. I believe in that fully because God is in control and he's never been out of control. Even when the worst things ever hit the earth, God is always in control. And you say amen? But I think we can go on the spectrum that, you know, it's all right if nothing happens. It doesn't matter who runs it. It's okay. Just God is on the throne. And I think there's an extreme on that side that says it's all right. And there's the other side that says, you know, we've got to get more people on the ground. We've got to do this because if we don't do this, then we're doomed. And I think if we went to both extremes, I think both are equally wrong. And I'm not saying one is better than the other. All I'm striving to see is we've got to have a balance here, a good balance, in fact. Yes, I agree that God is on the throne. We should never lose sight of that. But could it be that at this time, God is asking us to reflect, well, what is happening around the nations of the earth? You look at everywhere around the world. There are many, many, we could say, disappointments in many ways. But we still know that God has a plan and God will fulfill it. Maybe he doesn't do it quite the way we think it should be, but God is still in control. But at the same time, what should I do with all of this? Should I be indifferent? Does it not matter? Is perhaps God asking us to say, well, maybe we've been sleeping too long. Maybe we have not been concerned with what he has been concerned with. And the result, the reason things are happening the way they are is because believers perhaps are not doing what we're supposed to be doing, which is to be a light, which is to be a voice. And so I'm not saying that because I think I'm better than everyone here. I'm saying this, is God trying to get our attention? How often do we see in the scriptures how God allowed things to happen because people just cannot seem to get what God wants? We get caught up into idolatry. They got caught up in so many kinds of things that God has to allow certain things to happen to say, hey, come back to me. Return to me with all of your heart. And you say, amen. Do you understand what I'm saying here? So as we say God is the God of the nation, I think, and as we look at what's happening around us, I think the first thing that we have to say is rather than saying, well, God did not allow the Christians to get in the political scene because that's not what he's interested in. That's not his will. God is not interested to do things this way. Instead of seeing things like this, can I maybe suggest that we should say, Lord, what is actually your heart? We can easily draw conclusion based on what happened. If things happen like this, it equals this. But before we do that, can we ask the question, God, actually, what is in your heart? Because I think God's heart for the nations is big. And it's bigger than our hearts, bigger than my heart, bigger than every heart here sitting here. God's heart for the nation is huge. I don't think we have come close to that yet. But let's look at a person here in the Bible. His name is Jonah. I won't go through the whole story here, but you know what, Jonah? You know, I'm sure many of you would have heard the story of Jonah. Jonah is a Hebrew man, all right, and he's a prophet, and God calls him and asks him to go to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh is part of, if you can put the map for a sec back here, is part of Assyria at the north there. Can you see that there? North, northeast kind of sort of area. That's where Nineveh is. And at the time, Nineveh was what you would say was the world in power, the kingdom in power. There was the influence, military and everything. So Assyria was very, very, very strong, all right? It was the empire at the time. And do you realize that in the Bible, the Assyrians are the very ones who would come and take the northern kingdom, the kingdom of Israel, and take them into captivity? They're the very ones. Now, before that happened, though, and you can imagine the political stress between Israel and Assyria and all the kingdoms and all the nations around there. Here God calls Jonah and says, go to Nineveh and preach to them what I ask you to preach. And what do you think Jonah's response was? Oh, you don't have to think. It's in the Bible. You don't have to think about it. His response is what? He ran away from God. And finally, to cut a long story short, when Jonah actually goes and do what God asked him to do, the people actually repented. They turned from sin and God relented from judging them. And what did Jonah say? Lord, I knew it. I knew it. I knew it that if you would send me and I do what you asked me to do, that you would be so graceful and forgive them and relent from pouring out judgment. Okay, what I'm trying to say to you is, number one, can you see the heart of God for nations? Even when they were the so-called enemy of Israel, so to speak, God's hearts for the nations. So God's heart for the nation is not just a New Testament thing. God's heart is also seen in the Old Testament. Can you see this with me? God's heart for Nineveh. But I think what Jonah struggled was he drew a conclusion based on what he thinks should happen. He didn't say, God, what is in your heart? And I think that's where I go back to, how should we treat all of these things that's happening around us? This is political issues. What about the Christians? What about the non-Christian? What about so-and-so? What about this? What about our state? What about our government? I think we've got to go back and say, Lord, what is in your heart? Because God cares for the unborn that are being killed. God cares for all of them. God cares for people, all right? God cares for people who are struggling with their identity. God is concerned with those very issues, the very fabric of our society, which man, God said, he made man in his own image and his own likeness. So God is interested. So to me, to say that, you know, God is not interested to influence or we are not to be a light in those areas, I don't think that's appropriately said to be said this way. I believe God wants us to be a light everywhere. He wants to be a light in the world. And that means in this area as well. So I'm going to ask God, what is in your heart? Look at Jonah chapter 4, verse 11. It says this, and shouldn't I not pity Nineveh, that great city, which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and left and much livestock? Wow. You know, oftentimes we can look at things that are happening and groups of people that identify differently and we can easily look down on them. But if we look at them in the heart of God, God is saying, these people, they don't know how to discern between right or left. So God's heart for people, God's heart for nation. Regardless of race, status, rich, poor, doesn't matter. Well-accomplished, well-spoken, smart, intelligent, it doesn't matter before God. God's heart are for the nations. Isaiah 52 verse 10, it says, the Lord has made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. I want to quickly read a few verses that's not on the screen. I'm going to turn to the book of Luke because someone in the Bible saw the salvation of God. Are you following with me so far? Number one, God is the God of the nations. Number two, the heart of God for the nations. And I'm saying that God has a big heart, very big heart compared to ours. And we're going to enlarge our hearts. This is what we're going to ask. But in the book of Luke, let me see if I can find this here. In the book of Luke, there's a man called Simeon. Not a guy we talk a lot about. But in chapter 2, if you've got your Bible, maybe we're going to put it on the screen. But in chapter 2 here, I'm just going to read it, so follow with me, okay? Verse 25, I'm going to read it to verse 35 here. It says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. Now notice the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see the death. He would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. The Lord's Messiah, in other words. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. Man, I love this. By the Spirit, by the Spirit, by the Spirit. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to him, according to the custom of the law, he took him in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. Verse 33, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign which will be spoken against. And yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul and the thoughts of many hearts shall be revealed. What did Simeon see? He saw the salvation of God. He saw a light that would come and bring light to the Gentiles. Can you say amen? He saw that salvation by the Holy Spirit. He wants to reveal this because Jesus came to be a light to the Gentiles. Isaiah 66 verse 18, "For I know the works, I know their works and their thoughts, and shall be that when I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory." You know, I think God's heart is for all to see the salvation of God. But there's another side to it, which I think is appropriate for me to bring as well. God's heart, He loves us. He wants all of us to see. But if people will not turn to God, then there's the other side of God that does come. He will still reveal His salvation. But the Bible says that when the inhabitants, you know, when you have patience and grace, you know, they don't learn the righteousness. But when judgments are on the earth, the inhabitants will learn of the righteousness of God. But I want to say this, nations will see the glory of God. Nations will see the salvation of God. Let me read Isaiah chapter 2 verse 2 and chapter 2 verse 2, which we did at the start this morning. "And it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow in, shall flow to it." So, I hope I've made a case this morning, something that's not awfully new. But God, number one, say with me, God is the God of the nations. Number two, we've seen the heart of God for the nation, the heart of God for the nations. I want to close with this third point here, or bring this to an end, I should say, with this final point here. God's vision for His church. God's vision for His church. You see, God has a heart for the nations, and out of every nation, every tribe and tongue, people will get saved to become part of His kingdom and of His church. The church is made up of both Jews and Gentiles, one in Christ. It's called the new man in the Bible. In Christ, we are made. The middle wall of separation is broken. No more Jew, no more Gentile, but we become one people under God, unto God. In Christ, we are one. And so I want you to see this. If then this church that we're talking about, this church that Jesus said, "I am building my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." If this church is to be a church of all nations, of every tribe and every tongue all around the world, okay, when you look at church then, you think it's more than just a little group of people here on the earth. God has a huge vision which encompasses nations of the earth. I want you to kind of see this with me this morning. So to say this is this, and the revelation, how many of you want the revelation of Jesus Christ? We want to have a revelation. I do. And part of this revelation of Christ, when I look at Christ, there are many facets of what God is, what Jesus is, and who He is, and what He reveals. He's the healer, He's my rock, He's my strength. There are many aspects of who He is. But let me say this, when we look at Jesus, Jesus is revealed in the Bible as the head of the church, and we are revealed as His people, as His body. So what I'm saying here is, the facet of the revelation of Christ that I am asking personally for myself this morning, and I hope that all of us will have this prayer today, is to have this same revelation. I want to have the revelation of Jesus as the head and His church as His body. Now, when I say church, I don't just mean Evangelical Christian Fellowship. I mean the church, the universal church. I'm talking about a church that's worldwide, made up of Jews and Gentiles and nations and every tribe and every tongue, every people on earth. Wow. And if you can see this with me for a moment, you realize that when we talk about the heart of God for the nations, suddenly it becomes huge. It's beyond my one personal life. It's beyond my one personal family. It's beyond one particular country. We're talking about nations. So I hope that you see this with me today. And we want to ask God for this revelation. We want to ask God to, Lord, enlarge our vision to see You. because of your heart for the nations. And so our mission, why is Mission Sunday very important? Because like I said at the start, it's a reminder for me that God is the God of the nations. And that's the reason why mission support becomes really important, because we recognize the heart of God for all people all around the world, and we want to be a part of that. And your contribution and everything that we do with it that's touching the heart of God. That is part of the heart of God. But let me bring you to a few concluding verses here. Let me bring you back to Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. And we're talking about the heart of God. God, the God of the nations, God's heart for the nations, God's heart for the church, which encompasses all nations. It's part of the same heart. And it all began in Genesis chapter 12. I mean, it didn't just begin there, but this promise here is established to Abraham there. I'm going to read it again, okay? And then we're going to go to Galatians chapter 3. It says this to Abraham: I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Everybody say that with me. In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. What is this blessing? Let me ask you a question. What is this blessing? Is this blessing a little bit more money? Is this a better house? Is it, what is it? Are we talking about that? Are we talking about that kind of prosperity? Are we talking about a new job? I want to take you to Galatians chapter 3, verse 6 to 9. And this is what it says. Verse 6, just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Only those who are of faith. Are you of faith this morning? Amen. Well, you're sons of Abraham. Good day, sons of Abraham. All right, verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by what? By faith. Gentiles are the non-Jewish people, right? Preach the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. And you see this here. So the very promise, the very blessing that's given to Abraham, and how is that fulfilled? It is faith in Jesus Christ. Now, let me see this. Maybe you've seen this before. Maybe you haven't seen this before. But did you see the word preached the gospel? Did you see that here? Do we realize then that when we read this, that when God gave him the promise, when Abraham was going through, you know, reading his stories in the book of Genesis, chapter 11, 12, or 12 on, and all these chapters onwards, 18, 19, 20, do we realize that the gospel, this gospel that we believe in, what's the gospel? The good news. Because gospel simply means good news. The good news of Jesus Christ, right? He came to set the captives free, open the blind eyes, and so on and so forth. This good news was preached to Abraham. To Abraham. So the same message that we're hearing about this salvation, about this blessing, do we realize that Abraham heard it too? It's the same gospel in the Old Testament. It's the same gospel in the New Testament. The New Testament didn't change the plans of God. The New Testament didn't alter anything. It's this very core same promise, this very same message. Abraham heard that message. Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham had faith. Abraham was of faith. Therefore, we who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And we who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. That is the same blessing. And that is the blessing that God wants to bless all the nations of the earth. And so with us partnering with many different ministries around the world in various parts, to have the gospel go forth and proclaim, that is the heart of God. Amen. Now, even though that sounds nice and pretty and beautiful and everything, I want to bring it back to earth for us now a little bit here. Okay, because when we talk about Mission Sunday, I think it's great to talk about the ministries that we support, but we must also remember that God has given us a mission too. And mission, even in this place. Sometimes we can get caught up, okay, how many nations representative here, like we did this morning, and we almost left Australia until our brother Chris here said, Australia, you know, saying, let's look at all the nations representative here. But then we forget, hey, we can see very far, but we can't see very near us. And God wants to bless this place here too. We are from this earth. We are Australians. Amen? So I want to kind of bring it, sort of conclude this here with Isaiah 6. And I kind of brought up this whole issue about, okay, well, what's now? What now with the state elections? Doesn't look in our favor. It doesn't look very Christian. Okay, it doesn't look that great. What do we do? Has God called us? Has God anointed us, called us for a work for such a time as this? Can we inquire God's heart in all of this rather than drawing conclusion, well, that's not God's will, or God did it that way because we're not right. Let's just put that aside for a moment. And this is a challenge for me as much as I want to challenge you this morning. I'm going to read a few verses from Isaiah chapter 6. And this is speaking of King Uzziah. Maybe if I can get the worship team to come down already. And I want to read Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 to 8. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. And with two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And the one cried to another and said, why don't you say it with me? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Okay, so I'm going to read verse 4 now. And the posts of the doors were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having his lips, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongues from the altar. Verse 7, and he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged. And also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, everybody, here I am. Send me. The first thing I want to say is that God has already commissioned us. That's very clear. Go in all the world, making disciples, all right, of all nations, teaching them and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son. So the commission has already been given to us. But what I sort of want to bring forth to you today is our response to what God has already commissioned. So I'm not saying God is still trying to send us. God has sent us. God's commission has already been given to us. But the thing that Isaiah said is, Lord, here I am, send me. It's our response to what God has commissioned us. After reading those verses, what do you see brought Isaiah to this place where he could say, Lord, send me, here I am? I believe it is what he saw and how he was cleansed. What did he see? Verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. So he saw the Lord. So what did he see about God? And I'm asking, Lord, give us a revelation this morning where we see Christ as the head and his body as the nations of the earth who he wants to gather under his wings to himself. Nations. God's heart for the nations. That is his heart. And I want to ask, and this is my prayer, and I want to bring you, lead you in that kind of prayer this morning. God, I want to have this revelation of who you are. Here I am. Send me. Here I am. Send me. Reveal yourself as the God of the nations. Why don't we stand to our feet this morning? Rise to our feet I want to lead you this prayer here before we take the pledges here. So I'm sure that by I think I almost forgot about that myself. I thought I brought it here. There it is. Okay. I'm sure that all of you would have been given this. Now, I'm going to explain this in a moment. Don't worry so much about this verse. But then I want to pray this. Before we take the pledge or before we make any sort of commitment or anything like that, I want to ask the Lord to sort of, open our hearts to Him right now and just, let's look up to Him. God, we want to see You as the God of the nations. Lord, would You enlarge our hearts today? The vastness of Your hearts for nations, for people. Yeah. Yeah, and we're nowhere near there, Lord, and we're so often preoccupied with our own lives, with our own little world, and forget to see that You are the God of the nations. Enlarge us this morning, Lord. Give us a revelation of Your body. Give us a revelation, O God. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of our Messiah, Jesus, our salvation. That the same gospel that was preached to Abraham will be preached into all the earth. That as many as will receive the good news of Jesus Christ shall be saved. And we make this proclamation, as the scripture says, that every tongue and every tribe and every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is what we call Jehovah. Jesus Christ is the King.